Now, bushfires are a natural part of the Australian environment. I suppose that's why we call them bushfire seasons. But where the season starts and ends has blurred a bit. On the first day of the Royal Commission into bushfires, the head of the Bureau of Meteorology said the fire season has lengthened by almost 4 months since the 1950s in parts of eastern Australia, with climate change being a driving factor. So this National Science Week, we're going to take a look at the four ingredients, or four friends rather, needed for a big fire to take place. It's from an animation that has been released this week called The Four Friends of a Fire, which was made by Science at the Local and Dr. Hamish Clark that developed it to talk about bushfire and climate change. We are now joined by Dr. Hamish Clark. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for the invitation. It's great to be with you.
Now, firstly, can you introduce us to the four friends of fire?
Sure, yes. So they are Phil, who is fuel, Des, who is dryness, Iggy, who is ignition, and Wes, who is the weather.
And how do these four driving factors of starting a bushfire are also impacted by climate change?
So that's what the animation's about. Just stepping back for a moment, I've already done one animation which introduced the four friends of fire, and we were lucky enough to get support to do this new animation for Science Week, which is specifically looking at how they're affected by climate change. So the short answer is it's complicated, but there's the potential for things to get a lot worse. One of the reasons that I wanted to do it is because it's, I think, a really useful way of thinking about bushfires and bushfire risk. Rather than being this kind of monolithic slab, we can kind of pull it apart and ask, what are the key ingredients that you need? And it turns out that they're the same basic ingredients are required everywhere, but they're really different in different parts of Australia and different parts of the world. And so that's what the animation is trying to introduce, these concepts.
And so you mentioned there before the motivation for creating it. You decided to release it for National Science Week. Who's your audience, and who you for the animation?
Well, I'm modestly targeting everyone. I was inspired by a fantastic animation series at the Bureau of Meteorology. Was it the Bureau? Now I'm going to confuse it. I think it was the Australian government funded, partly possibly through the Bureau, but some other people. It was around understanding rainfall and the drivers of rain, and that was targeted at farmers. And it's known as the Climate Kelpie Series. And so the drivers of our rainfall, like El Nino and the Indian Ocean Dipole, are characterised as different working dogs, and they're barking and driving rain clouds here and there. And that was targeted at farmers, but it was really appealing to all ages, I thought, trying to convey complex concepts just through simple, engaging animations. And so I shamelessly kind of ripped off the tone or style, if you like, for this. I'm really hoping that lots of different ages enjoy it. You could say it's targeted at kids because it's a cartoon, it's an animation, but I'm an adult, I enjoy animations too, and I think all ages could benefit from a better understanding of some of these factors. So I could see it being used in schools, I'd be very open to that, but really it is intended to be for all ages.
Absolutely. And I think it's always nice to have an explanation with something like an animation. It always makes it, I think, a little bit more lively than just your average textbook.
That's the hope, yeah. I mean, I like science, I like textbooks, but I will grudgingly concede that not everyone gets their information that way. So, yeah, I think we need to, there's no one solution to engaging people with science. Science Week is an awesome example of that, trying to pull people together, you know, 1 week a year. And so this is a little, hopefully, a modest contribution that can get people exposed that may not have been before.
Absolutely. Now, you study bushfires. Mm-hmm. What are your hopes or concerns for the next bushfire season?
I'm not into forecasting fire season specifically. We've just had, obviously, one of the most, you know, extraordinary and horrific seasons in memory. So I would hope that it's not going to be as bad next season. In terms of the climate drivers, Wes, if you like, and Des, It's not as dry as it has been. Last year was the hottest year on record and the driest year on record. So just phenomenal dryness and heat that made, you know, the season a lot worse. So far, it hasn't been as dry in large parts of these same areas that burnt last year. But it's probably too early to say. You know, hopefully it's not nowhere near as big as last year. But yeah, it's still a bit of work that needs to be done for us to be able to confidently predict, even this far out, what the next fire season is going to look like. But at least we're not currently on the hottest ever year and driest ever year. So that's something.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two factors together are never a good combination. But we will pop the link for the Four Friends of Fire animation for all listeners to have a look at. It's a great way to spread education and awareness about the four factors that you need to start, well, not start, sorry, to yep. have a big fire.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time.
Thank you so much.